Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi everyone, hi there. Welcome to the Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm the first half, Flats, and he's the second half,
Shanks. Quite a subdued intro there, Dave. I mean,
yeah, I'm pretty laid back.
Is that reflected in your views of lockdown?
No, I thought I'd try and be quick and quiet. Just I'm trying to finish off a mug of Earl Grey before we properly start.
Okay, so let me know when we properly start. And just bring the energy. You know, like you
now,
do.
Yeah. Here okay. We go.
1, 2, to the raving
Are
crew.
You ready?
What we do for you. Don't drink and drive, stay alive.
Yeah, we want a booze cruise in Falaraki.
Listen for the base injection. This way, that way, every direction. Underground, what a sensation. Into the night is a new dimension. Just a little bit of freestyling of what I used to do years ago.
Yeah. I Googled, actually, before we came on, lyrics to A Little Bit of Luck.
DJ like an MC. Ta-na-ni.
But it was like hollow with a rinsing sound. I thought it was hollow with the rinsing sound. And I thought they said mixing as well. It turns out they do. They mix it up. Rinsing and mixing.
Really?
Yeah, I was training like a dog out there. And that was came on and I thought, this is a great tune. Well done me for putting that on my extended playlist for the gym. And I thought, what are they actually saying, those buggers? Now we know, boy.
Yeah, well, actually, I will have to Google that as well because I don't actually know what they're saying. But I've got it on a playlist I have for when I'm not injured and I'm rowing in the garage.
Yeah.
But then I also have stuff like Drops of Jupiter and Nothing Excuse Else me? Matters by Metallica. So.
Ooh, heavy. Let me ask you something, fella. It's going to start off with a statement and it's going to come to a question. I did a bit of weights outside this afternoon. And my elbows are absolutely killing me. And you emailed me asking me for elbow advice. I gave you some. What was it and how's it paid off for you?
It was to get an elbow sleeve, is what you said. I mean, the analogy is a lot like sort of shaving your legs, really, I think, is that it doesn't really do much, but boy, does it look good. Does it make you look the part?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at myself in the mirror when I row because that's how I like to row. I just find it motivates me that little bit more. God, I look like Cobra. I look like Cobra. I look like Shadow when I've been outside for a little bit in the sun.
Shaft.
Hunter.
Yeah.
Wolf. I look like a gladiator, all right? And
yeah.
I really did that look. And I reckon it just gives me that extra 10%.
Okay. That's good to know. So you're happy with the sleeve. That's good.
Yeah, I'm happy with the sleeve. Although I had to give up rowing this morning. I found the first 500 quite tough. And then I thought, wow, arms hurting a bit. I know. I'll get a bowl of chocolate granola.
Do you get any? Do you take any anti-inflammatories?
No, I don't.
When my elbows get really bad or my shoulders get really bad, I take one. And by the morning, they are good to go.
Tell you what. I would love to take some. Where can I get some from now?
Just Google them, get them on Amazon, just get some cheap ibuprofen and ruin your body.
Buy cheap,
I don't
buy
massively
twice.
Know what I'm taking. Yeah, I'm not don't massively sure what I'm taking, but I got them from the local chemist, actually, because they're still open.
What about the side effects?
Well, you will stack on masses of muscle and your sex appeal will be pouring out of your nose and your eyeballs, but it's up to you.
Mm, okay.
I struggle with that, but it really helps. I mean, I just had a little 10 kilo weight doing... I don't do gun sessions, I'm not like you, but I was doing some, just to try and keep everything moving, some like bicep, really light biceps earlier. My elbows, it was so sore, I couldn't even lift 10 kilos. Killer.
You don't do gun sessions. I bet you do a gun session when you're putting on your black camo t-shirt or your black ops t-shirt and you're going to meet...
When I'm meeting Foxy.
When you're going to meet Jason Fox. I bet you're boshing out 26 press-ups in 26 seconds just before you meet up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, mate, oh, I'm trained for ages. I'm trained for about a year. Oh, look at me.
I did actually do a, before lockdown, I went is in the blooming gym again. And there was like my cousin used to do this thing called an Olympic arm workout. And he just had massive guns. And I was like, right, I'm going to buy into this. I'm going to do what he used to do. And I did a proper gun session. Like, I never do a whole session on arms. I just can't. I don't care enough. And I get home and the next day I was in as much pain as I've been in since I retired from rugby.
Mm.
Yeah. It wasn't my biceps. It was my wrists, elbows, shoulders. Oh my God. I won't do that again.
Well, I've done a bit of Googling. You know how I like to Google.
I know what you like. Yeah. Rabbit hole.
Yeah. And I've got rower's elbow. Okay. I've got all the symptoms.
Okay.
So complete rest. I'm going to rest for 48 hours. It's going to kill me, mate, because you know what I'm like training. I'm in a massive training block at the moment and see how it is. But I will continue to wear the elbow sleeve because, as I said, mate, it looks good. Well, I'm getting out of the car now and again when I've got to go to the shops, I get some looks. That guy works out and...
Yeah.
I really like it. So thank you for that. Sorry if we repeat ourselves a little bit to the thousands that watched our Instagram live earlier. We went on a bit. We did about 45 minutes on there. God, time flies, doesn't it?
Flew by, didn't it, fella?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's all right. A little bit of repetition. It's a bit like, the thing is, mate, when you're doing, you're commentating or you're analysing games on, you know, in the Premier Sport, or you're doing it on BT Sport or whatever, or Channel 4, then you go and do the podcast and we talk about the odd games, some games. It's like, these are your views on things. So if you have different platforms, there's going to be a little bit of repetition, but I think that's all right. This is slightly longer form. It's less rushed. That's all right.
A little bit of a ray of hope for you across the bridge in England. A little bit different to Wales and Mark Drakeford. We're on complete lockdown for another 3 weeks, but looks like it's slightly easing.
But in England. It's like most people I know are still on full lockdown, like I am.
Mm, yeah,
there's nothing else you can do, and you can take more exercise. It's like I wasn't, to be completely honest, when I was going for walks with my kids and whatever, and without my kids, I was not timing 30 minutes, turning around and going back. I'm in the middle of nowhere. So if I go for a walk for 3 hours or 2.5 hours, I don't see anyone. So it makes no difference.
Yeah.
So I was going for longer walks, I'm probably breaking the law. But actually, I wasn't in town or anything like that. I'm just on my mate's farms, really.
Yeah. And I suppose where you live, Bath, no one's ever heard of it. So yeah, you are in the middle of nowhere. Correct.
Yeah. I mean, well, 20 metres from my front door are fields, and the fields keep going for basically till you get Swindon. So you can just walk as long as you want. Mm. But there's a few places where you're not allowed to walk, but I'm allowed to walk there because my mate Giles owns a farm. So
do you walk on the rec?
I just do laps of the rec and just do air squats on the centre spot, yeah.
Point, clap, wave, like you're doing a...
Andy Beater used to... one of his traditions, the Beast, at Christmas parties was take the Christmas tree out of the Christmas party, walk along the field and dig into the centre spot and plant the Christmas tree on the centre spot of the wreck. And I remember Karen every year used to try and stop him.
Yeah.
I know we don't swear on this pod. And she was like, Beast, not again, no. And he just said, fuck off, Karen. And the next day he's like, Karen, I apologise for using that language. I should not have used that language. Very good.
So you can play a little bit of sport against a family member now in England. You're going to take your mum on in a game of rugby or a scrum?
I'm going to spear tackle my daughters.
Good.
On a spear tackling, because they're good kids, but they live, you know, they live in Chinoville. They live in Dexhoesville. They're privileged. They don't know they're born. So I'm going to get them some gum shields fitted and I'm going to take them to Chinatown.
Perfect. It's the only way to teach kids sometimes. You know, they've got to learn the hard way.
Yeah. That's how our mum's taught us, isn't it, boy?
Yeah. But have England, have they opened up too early? Because I tell you what, mate, I'll tell you another place that opened too early and it was catastrophe. Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Opened its doors far too early and it didn't go well for them.
Yeah, and that's the worry, fella. Mm. If we, you know, I popped down to support the local businesses and I popped down to get a coffee and a baguette from the fine cheese company in town, or Intermezzo, my favourite little baguette shop, and there is a, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex on Milsom Street,
mm-hmm.
we're in Barney trouble. I don't know. We don't know, do we? Well, it's an odd one because for some people, life will change. Like a friend of mine said, oh, the office is being opened up again next week in London. They're opening the office. It's like, but have you got to go back? No, I haven't got to go back. Why not? Well, I can't have everyone in there.
Hmm.
Who's going in? How many people? One on each floor, two floors. Is it worth them going in? Yeah, they're making someone go in. You're like, I don't understand. Like, what's the difference? I don't, maybe there is a difference, but this is...
Yeah, I mean, if you can't work from home and you need to work in the office, then, you know, that's the reason why. But, you know, if you can work from home, work from home. I mean, is this work?
We'll do what we do.
Work? I mean, it's just a bit of fun, really, isn't it?
Do what we do and just don't have any work.
Yeah. I got a question for you, Flat. Now,
okay.
I've been heavily barbecuing and it's caused a lot of eruptions at home, as you know that. Smokeville. But
yeah,
I need some dry rubs. Now, I want a couple of dry rubs for different meats. I want one for chicken. I want one for beef. Now,
yep.
What are my options, mate? Because I go really to Tesco's easy. And there's you can make your own. You know, you've got paprika.
Ah.
You've got all, you know, but I want one that's already made because...
Thing is, yeah,
and I want a
rubs
pair
are
black,
like stock.
I want a pair of black gloves as well, you know, because that's what you see, the real guys, you know what they're doing.
Yeah, and rubs are like, they're a bit like stock, like, you know, chicken stock or whatever. It's not difficult to make your own, but you can buy ones that are probably better than you will make, and they're so cheap and they last for so long. It's just almost, it's something you can be lazy with, I think. But I've used them all, fella.
Yeah.
So I've got four recommendations. Marcus Borden, who is Devon Woodsmoke. Yep. He's got two rubs. One's a mocha rub, he calls it, and it goes on beef and pork. It is just mega. It's probably the best. It's probably the best thing you could put on your red meat. It's amazing.
Is that for slow cooked joints or is this for like a...
Yeah, so I don't put rubs on a Chateaubriand or a nice steak or a ribeye. I wouldn't put anything on it. I did it recently and I thought I'd try something different and it ruined a really nice piece of meat. It didn't ruin it, but it's like it's a waste of rub and it overpowered the flavour of the meat. So so there's that. His ones are really good. And I use those all the time. Meat Church are great. I love their stuff. Angus and Oink. I recently bought a few rubs and sauces from them and I have loved. I did Korean chicken, they've got a Korean rub.
Yep.
I think it's called You've Got Soul. And they've got a really nice garlic butter rub, which is really nice, which... Ooh. I used that on some veggies, actually. It was lush. And on some chicken again. But actually, I don't know why it's to my surprise, but it is. I've been using the Traeger rubs quite a lot, like the ones that sort of come with the grill when you buy a grill.
Yeah.
And they are properly good. Like, I've tried everything, and it's like, these are as good as anything. And I will always expect them... It's almost like you buy an Armani watch and it's like, it might look nice, but I'd rather buy a watch from someone who's a specialist watchmaker rather than a Hugo Boss. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's like, because they make t-shirts, they don't make watches, but that's what I thought. But the Traeger rubs, just chicken rub, they do a fin and fish, so like a, yeah, whatever it is, they do a fish rub, they do really nice beef rubs, so their own rubs are excellent.
Okay, I've just written those down, so I'm going to have a look at that later, because I want to... Spatchcock a chicken,
yeah,
and I want something to go on top of it. And you can buy these ready-made rubs in, as I said, in the shops. But I want to try something proper.
Yeah, the Traeger chicken rub is lush. Okay. I really like it. I do loads of chickens because kids love it, and beer can chicken is really easy, and smoked chicken on the Traeger is really easy. Rotisseries, you can do two at once. So, and I use loads of chicken rubs, and the Traeger chicken rub is wicked. It's really good.
Okay, thank you. Any questions you want to ask me?
I'm into it. I'm fully into it. So how are you getting on with Smokeville? You just barbecuing for one now, are you?
I'm having to use the gas for a bit, mate, just to cool her down. And then try and get her out of the house, maybe. Tell her some sort of, when I say her, it's my wife. I tell her there's a deal going on in B&Q for some paints. You might want to get out there, get some quick. And I'll put it on then. I'll lock the doors. Yeah.
Grill. License to grill.
I say to what you should. I tell you what you should do. You should run a marathon for charity. That's what you should do. Why don't you do that? And then I got. She's a really good runner, so I probably got like 3.5 to 4 hours to do what I want.
Nominate her for something on social media, so she has to, and then she's gone.
To do what I want, I'm gonna add a barbecue, tops off, little paddling pool, couple of beers in there, heaven.
Do you when lockdown is eased a bit in Wales, do you want me to nominate you to play 36 holes of golf for the NHS?
Well, you can only play golf at the moment with a family member, or like a one ball on your own, or
you got a cat.
Take one of my kids.
Do you not want to play on your own? Would you not play on your own? Is it not the same?
Yeah, I would, but no, it's not the same. It's a social sport. You know, it's you get 4 hours with your mates. It's competitive as well, you know. So you play against, but it's also quite a nice time to have a chat.
You're like Michael Jordan.
It's where I do my business, mate. It's where I do my best business.
How much are you betting on a game like Jordan? How much?
It's normally for food after. So, you know, you're in a four ball. What's that going to cost you at the golf club? Maybe
80 quid?
20 quid. 20 quid it probably cost you. So, yeah. I mean, you've got to have something on it, haven't you? And then you can have little side bets elsewhere. Just make it competitive. I'm looking forward to that day when golf courses are open.
Have you seen
the
article in, I think it was Spectator magazine, that's going around on social media about The Last Dance, saying, sorry guys, it's great TV, but this is a PR puff piece. There's no one been asking any difficult questions of Jordan. There's none of this stuff is there. And there's stuff coming out like Horace Grant, apparently Jordan wouldn't let him eat after games if he wasn't good enough. Don't let him eat, doesn't deserve to eat.
Well, I suppose a little bit of that is hearsay, but I don't really want to hear some of the difficult. Yeah, it'd be great, but I just want to find out a little bit more about Michael Jordan. I want to watch how good he was. I want to watch how he interacts with people, his personality. And I cannot get over what an unbelievable player he was. I mean, we all heard of Michael Jordan. We all know he's a great player, but you forget, don't you? And to see some of his dunks, his layups, his three-pointers, just how he takes teams apart is incredible.
It's just incredible. I can't, and you know, you more than me, but you and I have played at, you know, the top or very close to the top of a very difficult, very popular sport. So
let's just say the top, right?
Let's just say the top, right? Well, I was there for a few minutes. You were there for a few years, but right at the top. And he's at the top of a very competitive sport. Admittedly, not that competitive internationally, but in the US, and the genetic freaks knocking around and the money, you know, the competition. He is just so much better than everyone else. Mm. Even the legends, the icons, the MVPs, the Magic Johnsons, and it's just taking people apart. Like, he's just got a level no one else has got.
Can I hit you with another question, Flats?
Hit me.
Right. I've been watching Unorthodox on your recommendation. First question is, should I stick with it? I've done two episodes and I'm a little bit unsure.
Yeah, it's fascinating, mate.
Okay.
Fascinating.
I mean, that was my only question. The second part is Esty, who is the main actress in it.
The main lady, yeah.
Is absolutely tiny.
Yep.
She is one of the smallest ladies in acting I've seen. Like, she's not quite as small as Tom Cruise, but she's close. She looks the same sort of size and height as the head teacher or the principal in Kindergarten Cop. Now, I don't know if you remember that. She is tiny. Oh, my God. I watched it at the weekend. What a film. Your kids will love it. Make sure you watch it with them.
Kindergarten Cop. Yeah, okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger films are great for kids. You've got that. You've got Junior. You've got Twins.
Predator.
End of Days.
Total Recall. There's some really good stuff there.
But some of the comedies he does, mate.
I just love Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think he's the best guy ever.
Hmm.
Yeah. I wish he was governor of Somerset.
Let's play a game.
I love him.
Who is your daddy and what does he do? Is that right?
That's good. That's good.
That's all right. Okay,
I love him.
I'll stick with Unorthodox. I'm not sure how many episodes there are, but I've done two.
Yeah.
I think there's only four.
I think there are four, yeah. I thought it was brilliant and fascinating because it sent me down a Google rabbit hole because it was like, wow, is this, how accurate is this? And it's like, wow, it is really...
Is it that accurate?
Yes, and it's like, it's a world you just can't leave because you are effectively married off very young, especially women. You've got no skills, very little education. It's like, right, you're in the world on your own. You have no money, no support, no friends outside the community, no relatives supporting you, no money, no qualifications to get a job. You don't know how the world works, from what I can understand on Google and this program. And it's, wow, it's really, really quite extreme. And we used to live, you and I lived in Stoke Newington, was it called Stamford Hill or something? You'd drive through it, and it was it was very heavily populated by... Hasidic Jews or Orthodox Jews. Orthodox Jews. I think I'm saying the right terminology. But I remember I broke down. My car broke. I broke my gearbox basically driving through there, and I properly wrecked it. And you were off in Wales because I was going to England training only to come home again. But you were off in Wales, and I was like, oh Christ, what am I going to do here? And this bloke pulled over in his Volvo. They all drive Volvos. So that's a really interesting one. Loads of them drive Volvos. And anyway, he pulled over and he really helped me. It's the loveliest, not that I was surprised by that, but he was I remember him saying, you poor man, let me help you. And he literally took me to a cafe and got me breakfast while I waited for the people to come and pick up my car on a trailer. Anyway, lovely.
So
people.
You said it's accurate because...
Yes.
Yeah, all right. So when they procreate, they have to wear the white gowns like we saw.
Yes.
All right.
So I remember going to a cafe with you in that area.
I'm not the only one then.
No, exactly. And you and I were like this, and this was the days before you just Google everything. And whoever we were with, I can't remember who it was, said they have to use a white sheet with a hole in it or something. And we were like, no way. It turns out,
yeah,
it's a thing.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I'm sticking at it. Any other new series for me? Got Save
Afterlife.
Me Too.
I've got Save Afterlife Me Too. Has blown me away.
Yeah. Okay.
The therapist in Afterlife 2, yeah. I call him Dennis Pennis, that's not his real name. Paul K. I sent you a WhatsApp earlier video, didn't I, of me in hysterics. He has broken me in a way not many TV characters ever break me. I've been pausing the TV because I'm laughing so much I can't hear the TV anymore.
Well, I sent you a link to YouTube, which is the full 18 minutes of outtakes, which you have to watch. It, you know, you can't take your eyes off it. Now, I think it's a better series than the first series. I really enjoy it. I can see how so many people relate to it because it covers depression. And, you know, you can see with Ricky Gervais on the down days, the good days. But I don't know. I can't fully absorb it like The Office. You know, I can't quite relate to it, like some of the class things he's done, like Extras. I think the best scenes, I think, are when, you know, he's having a good day, for instance, his interaction with the postman, with the sex worker, with the hoarder. It's just brilliant. With Steve Spears, with the lady he sits by at the bench. All those scenes are just pure gold. This link I sent you for the outtakes, 80 minutes, one of the best ones. You've not seen it yet, so I can't wait for you to watch it. You're very lucky. I can't remember the hoarder's name. Did you think it was Dennis?
Was it Dennis or Kev? I can't remember.
Yeah. One of those two. So first off is the joke he tells one of the receptionists about an elephant.
Oh! Right.
So
I'm disgusting. I'm like one with a face covered in. Oh, it broke me. That killed me. Right. Absolutely killed me.
So there's a few takes of that. One of the best ones is when he's feeding the larger kid who's in the acting group.
James, is it?
James might be. Yeah. Well done. He's feeding him cake, right? And he's going, "Oh, I love feeding you. Oh, you're like a big toad eating a juicy worm," right? They have like 8 or 9 takes like that. All you can hear is Ricky Gervais saying, "Keep the food in your mouth. Do it again. Don't swallow it. Keep it." And he's in stitches, and they're desperate to get this take because it's, you know, the language is just phenomenal in it. You know, the delivery is brilliant. So watch it, mate. I've sent it to you.
Okay.
But there are some golden scenes all the way through it. But
yeah,
it's I can't love it like I love other things like Partridge and The Office. Maybe that's just because I've been Brentified too much.
Yeah, he's not the best character in it, which I quite like because he's written better characters than himself. I think that's great. But he's the main guy, but he's not actually the star of the show. There's lots of other stars of the show for me. And it's like,
oh mate, there's another scene.
Paul K, the therapist. Oh my God.
There's another scene you haven't watched. It's when the postman with his girlfriend, the sex worker, they're going to see the live show, you know, which culminates in the final episode. And he walks in and it's the hoarder telling them that he can put his own penis somewhere. Yeah. He's got your attention, haven't I? Tricks of the trade. Honestly.
Oh, now he's interested.
I enjoyed that 18 minutes more than any other episode.
Did you see the bit where he's like, got a bit of stage fright, didn't tell my best jokes. Oh, what jokes didn't you tell? What'd you get? If you cross,
yeah,
my ex-wife, with her, it's brilliant.
Steve Spear is really good in it as well.
Ah, of course he is.
Yeah,
those outtakes were hilarious as well. Because the problem with Steve Spears is, as soon as he says something, you're broken.
Yeah,
like it's just got funny bones. Ricky Gervais would be the same. He's just got funny bones. One thing I noticed on the outtakes was when Paul K, the therapist, is doing the luge, and he's just cracking up, pissing himself the whole time. The actor who's with him, so Ricky Gervais' brother-in-law, the editor of the newspaper, with him, he doesn't like it, I don't think. I think he just wants to crack on and get it done. And he's not in hysterics. And he's like the only person there because Ricky Gervais is screaming in the background with laughter.
Yeah.
And he doesn't love it. Like, he doesn't love it. So,
I mean,
was interesting.
If you're just sat there and you haven't, you know, and it's not really tickled you that much, it is going to be hard, isn't it? When it's probably taken 30 minutes to do that little scene. But I love it. I love the bar scene as well. They're cracking out all the names with the nonce.
Oh.
I mean, but let's not say them now. We'll keep
Michael Parkinbum. It's so good. Then the funniest one. The funniest ones are the swear words. But then out of nowhere, he just goes, "Yeah, Jamie Redknapp." Oh. Oh, it breaks me. If you haven't watched it, listeners, you've got to watch it. Yeah. It's just genius.
We'll put the link up after.
Now, so good.
Special episode today. We've got a guest all the way from the United States. We're going to call him in a sec. Now, his name's Matthew Rees. Not Smiler, former Lions Wales hooker. This is Matthew Rees, the actor. Starred in Brothers and Sisters, and more recently, The Americans. Played Philip Jennings in The Americans, which is great. All about espionage. One for you to watch, Flats. Really good. Don't want to spoil it for you. We'll be calling him soon, see what he's been up to.
He was in something else, which I will reveal during our chat with him.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for this because he's a proper job, and The only worry is that he's very Welsh. He's a big rugby fan, so he'll know exactly who you are. So I'm thinking of reinventing myself a little bit. He might not know who I am, so I might just say that if he asks, I'll just say I got 48 caps. So I'm not overdoing it. Didn't quite get 50, but
why don't you say you're like a double international in another sport?
Okay, yeah. I'll just say 200 meters.
Archery.
200 metres.
You couldn't do archery, could you? Your shoulders would pop and your little...
Shoulders would pop.
You haven't got the range,
my arm was the way back. No.
You know, like give a bow and arrow to a T-Rex, you've got no hope. So,
no.
Yeah. All right, well, should we get him on the line?
Let's give him a call. Let's do this, Tommy boy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Matthew, how is life in the USA?
Well, you know, it's as mad as it is there, I think. You know, we're both kind of, you know, at least Johnson didn't tell you that, you know, bleach might be the way forward.
I saw on the news some people with guns protesting about lockdown. They wanted to be let out. And I saw someone that looked just like you. So where were you on the afternoon of the 14th?
Well, I was there. I was at the town hall. Right. But I was just trying to sell, you know, baked goods.
Yeah, trying to cash in on the punters. Silly, exactly. Yeah, horse chestnuts.
Now, we've been asking everyone, like, what they've been up to. Because, like, as an athlete, you know, you can do a little bit of training at home. You know, if you've got a job, you can work from home. As an actor, what do you do? Or is it, your whole life is an act?
Well, as you well know, my whole life is an act.
Yeah.
However...
Must be knackering.
It is exhausting. However, I've basically taken up permanent residence as the Green Goblin to my four-year-old's Spider-Man.
Oh, right.
So most hours of the day, I am the Green Goblin.
Yeah. And where are you residing at the moment? I hear it's Brooklyn. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're so trendy.
It's all hairy string and brown paper bags.
Loads of bagels for breakfast.
Yeah.
It sounds all right.
Yeah.
Well, I live in Bath, which you will know. Lovely spot.
Of course.
And Shanks is still in the motherland. He'll never leave, will he, boy?
Panar's too nice. I mean...
It's the last resort.
What do you need and which the trees cannot provide?
Oh, mm-hmm. Who said that?
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Sherwood Forest.
I think it's I think what one thing I'd like to discuss with you, Matthew, is that despite the fact you live in Brooklyn, you are, I've always thought of you, Shank said on the pod, we've had a chat together before we've called you now.
Oh, dear.
And he said, but I've always thought of you as very Welsh.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I've just been doing a Googling and it talks about you talking Welsh to your son. Is that ongoing? You're still doing that?
Yeah, it's still ongoing. Bless him.
So it's still ongoing. So why is that so important to you?
I don't know. You know, I think I certainly grew up in an age where both my parents were first language Welsh, so they, you know, they spoke it to us. But also, you know, growing up in the 80s when the language was going through a very tumultuous time, that was the backdrop to us, that there was this great necessity for it to survive. There was a great need for it to survive, and that was certainly instilled in us. And you know, it was only very recently got taken off, you know, the endangered language list, which felt like this victory.
Has it always been acting, or did it come a little bit late, like Arnie and Vinnie Jones? Because Little Bird told me you were Elfis in
Elfis,
because there's no V in the Welsh language.
There's no, so you single F.
And everyone got T-shirts made.
Everyone. Well, yeah. I made the T-shirts and then gave them out.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Well, as I'm sure you know, in Wales, you don't really have a choice. You're kind of kicked onto a stage from a very early start where there's an Eisteddfod going on, or if you go to chapel, you know, you kind of go, you know, you're shoved in front of an audience or told to sing in close part harmony, whether you want to or not. And basically at 17, you know, a friend, Johan Griffith, a friend of mine went, you know what, I think I'm going to give this a go professionally. And then I went, what?
You what?
That's what, you what? That's what, but we're destined for international rugby stardom. We can't exactly. be actors.
Because he went to the same school as you, as did Jamie Roberts.
Yes. I like to think, you know, obviously my same position as Jamie. So I think that being a few years older than little Roberts, I influenced him heavily on his position and indeed his style of play.
See, Flash, apparently you're quite an aggressive mentor, he said. But everyone's got a different style, haven't they?
Yeah. But I like to think that he gleaned a lot from my sort of, you know, crash ball.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of rivalry because you're a Glantaff boy, aren't you? You know, you have this, this little celebration. I mean, I'm doing it now, but you can't see it because you listen to this as a podcast.
That's disgusting.
Yeah,
put it away.
What is that? Like a lightsaber.
Lightsaber.
I'll just take the sock out of my mouth. But also, you had Whitchurch High, didn't you, with Gareth Bale, Sam Warburton, Gethin Jones.
Yeah.
So a little bit of competition going on there with.
Wait, which Gethin Jones?
TV presenter, gorgeous.
No, he was Glantav.
Oh, he's Glantav, was he?
Yes. Now he genuinely did have a shot at, you know, international rugby stardom.
Well,
he says he did. He likes people to think that, but I've. Well, he keeps. He's got small calves.
Yeah.
He once reckons he went on a trial at the Sale Sharks, but we think it was a Sale Goldfish. But honestly, lads, his legs weren't big enough. He's got
the calves of a Jack Russell.
Yeah.
That's the problem with him.
Like Mo Farah.
So you were a rugby player.
Do you golf with him?
Oh, yeah, no, I golf a little bit with him, yeah. Yeah, now and again.
When have you seen his calves, Mr. Flatman?
We've done a few bits together, and when you do a few bits together, you often get changed. You know, you do a few corporate events, you get changed backstage, you notice what certain people are.
Right.
You know, anxious about what certain people want to hide. So I might breathe in as I'm getting changed backstage.
Right.
He'll take off his jeans to put his black tie on. And he'll be wearing two or three pairs of rugby socks just to bulk up his calves.
Yeah.
And a mile off.
Yeah. A bit of old newspaper down the back of them as well.
Yeah. And they're hard to improve your calves. They are hard. And he's found it difficult over the years and it's affected his self-esteem.
Well, I think we can see that in his style of presenting. But when I used to live in Los Angeles, one of the biggest cosmetic procedures for men in Los Angeles was a calf implant.
Like Johnny Drama. Really? Johnny Drama talks about Johnny it on Drama. Entourage all the time.
Yeah. Well, as you say, it's one of the hardest muscles to develop.
I mean, Flats would need a calf reduction.
I might get a reduction, yeah, because I can't buy jeans very easily because mine are like other people's legs plus a bit, which is a bit of a shame. Sounds good. Not that good. Actually, a bit awkward.
Got to thank your mum for them, though, haven't you?
God. Yeah, that's the. She was an aggressive applicator of steroids. But so you were, Matthew, a rugby player. Is that right? You played rugby.
I did. Very much. I never made the first team, sadly, but an avid, starter for the seconds.
And if you play rugby, Flats, you've got to be good at singing hymns. And I hear he is one of the best.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One of the best.
Always leading from the front.
Yeah, one of the top few hundred.
Tight head harmony.
So brothers and sisters, you did for a long time, and that turned into the Americans then as well.
Yeah.
Now, Flats hasn't watched it because...
Neither have I.
I'm really excited because it's one of those things I just didn't start. So tonight, I'm actually starting it after this evening. I can't wait.
Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be watching...
But what?
I'm well up for it. Yeah.
Were you meant to be filming Perry Mason? Was that the next on the agenda?
No, we finished it. We finished it in January. In fact, I'll shamelessly plug it. It comes out on Sky on June 21st, I believe.
Ah, wicked.
Has there been a delay in it coming out because of what we're going through? No.
No. It was always a race to get it out in June. We went a little bit late and shot into January.
Yeah.
So I've been doing my kind of my additional dialogue recording in a duvet-lined cupboard for the last few weeks, and doing all my press via Zoom and Skype.
So you're obviously, a big actor.
How big are you? 6'9", apparently.
Yeah, 6'9", Well, 6'9", that was before the calf implant.
What would you say you get most recognised for on the street? What brothers and sisters, Americans? Just being a great guy?
No, I'm just trying to remember when was the last time I was actually recognised on the street. I'll be perfectly honest, it's very infrequent. Occasionally in New York, it's the Americans. It kind of showed it well there.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Same as me, though. I quite like being undercover. It's nice. Go about your day to day.
Do you ever walk down the street and people go, "Oi, Shanklin, what?" Do they pinpoint one particular moment that was great or that was bad?
I'd mostly, if people are shouting at me, I get Gareth Thomas, which is...
You have got a lot in common, to be fair.
Honestly, I do. I do. All the time. But not really. It's quite nice, actually.
What's worse than that is, all I get... I wasn't as good a rugby player as Shanks, so all I get is, "Flats, where's Shanks? Where's Shanks?" When I say most days, before lockdown, at least every day. "Where's Shanks?" Bath is a small place.
I'd say with that moustache now, you could get... Oi, Chilcot!
Yes. Exactly. Cootie, exactly it. I'm getting a bit of Chilcot.
But Flats also wears a real big, shiny puffer jacket just to get a little bit more attention. Which
it's cool, though. No, I like it.
Have you still got it?
I've still got it.
Does it say Bath RFC on it?
Yeah, it says Bath Legend. I put the legend bit on, had it embroidered. I thought you might get recognised more because, Brothers and Sisters went well. Americans went well. I'm sure... Yeah, Perry Mason's going to be wonderful. But you were you not, in an episode of Columbo?
I was in the last ever episode of Columbo.
Awesome. That's the one. That is the one. How was it?
Yeah. I finished the series.
Did you know it was going to finish? Or was it just a bit of a kick in the teeth when they said, right?
They called me the last...
We can't get any better than that. We're ending it.
You were the straw that broke Columbo's back.
A true man of his word. I was filming something for the BBC in New Zealand with him, Bob Hoskins, and James Fox.
Wow.
And we're sat on this clifftop one day, and he goes, "Yeah, what are you doing after this?" And I said, "Oh, nothing much." And he went, "I'm going to go back and do one more Columbo. You want to play the bad guy?" And I honestly thought, that'd be great. Lovely. And then, strangely enough, I went back. It was kind of before the time people had mobile phones. You had a pager. Yeah, I was back in Cardiff.
Like Doogie Howser.
Yeah, I was like a little Welsh Doogie Howser. In fact, that's how I'm known. And through a sequence of events, the phone went in our house in Cardiff, and it was Peter Falk talking to my mother, and she comes into the living room. She goes, "Someone on the phone says it's Peter Falk." And I said, it is Peter Falk. So I went to the phone. And true to his word, he went, "Listen, we're going to set up the visa. I'll pick you up from the airport. We're going to have fun." And he did. In a matter of weeks, I was on a plane to Los Angeles, and he picked me up in Los Angeles International Airport.
That's so good.
Do you remember how you murdered him?
The guy, it was a simple strangling.
Threw
him out of a window.
It's the best way, strangling. I don't know why people don't use it more often. But
it's a classic.
It's a nice way to go, apparently.
Oh, that's great. I'm really, I'm actually incredibly chuffed on your behalf and unattractively jealous that you were in Columbo. It's just great.
When I'm close to the end of filming, I snuck into the... he's had since 1969. It's kept in this kind of vacuum-packed thing, and the women take it out with white gloves. I joke you not.
Oh, brilliant.
And I went in, and I said, "Can I ask a favour? Can I put the coat on and take a picture?" And I might as well have said... I was going to say something awful.
"Can I tickle your balls?"
I might have said something awful, yes. So they said, "No, God, absolutely not. No one touches the coat. No one." I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I left. And then about 5 minutes later, there's a knock on my trailer door, and they went, "Meet us around the back end of the costume truck now." And I've still got the Polaroid of me wearing...
That's brilliant.
I know.
I love that. And he was a good bloke. We liked him.
A great bloke. And the first time, he genuinely looks you in the eye and says, "Just one more question." You kind of go,
he's got me.
Cinematic history.
So we talk about best players, that we've played with, some of the most likable players we've played with. What about in your industry?
No, I want yours first.
Likeable. You cannot dislike Sam Warburton, can you?
No.
You can't.
No, best guy going.
You know, if he if your daughter's going to marry someone, you want it to be Sam Warburton.
Right.
Yeah. Some horrible people as well. Anyone French, basically. They'll just
Califano's, go. Christian Califano's psychopath.
They'll go for your eyes. They'll go for your mouth.
I haven't said any of the South Africans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tend to be. Thing is, you meet like a Skulk Burger, and he's been done for gouging and this and fighting, and he's the nicest man in the world. He's just very big, really gentle, incredibly polite, just a gorgeous bloke. And it's like, if he gouged me and then came to say sorry, I wouldn't press charges.
You take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd apologise to him for something. So he's so nice.
If you could pick... If you could pick someone, yeah. Eben
Expert.
Yeah, yeah. You just want to stay away from his arms, mind.
Yeah, big pipes on him.
Biggest things I've ever seen. But anyway, in terms of like acting, who would be someone that you'd love to work with again, that you've worked with before?
100% gold winner.
Can't say your wife. Okay.
Tom Hanks. Yay.
Yeah. Without question, he takes the nice mantle like above and beyond.
So because you worked with him on A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, is that right?
Yeah. Did this film. Just before we start filming, he's like, oh, why don't I take the cast and the crew to a baseball game? And you go, what? Or everyone? All of us?
Do I have to pay?
Yeah. Will I pay? What am I paying for?
Should I get the drinks?
Then he'll rent a cinema on a weekend for them all. Then he'll buy a coffee truck to sit, you know, on set all day. And he'll stop and talk with everyone.
Oh, so nice. He always seems like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And a great game he likes to play. Well, I know I liked to play. And I'm badgered him with it. He goes... Looking at the demographic of people that clock him, he can usually guess what it is they're going to shout. And he goes, men around 40. Have you seen that Castaway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Men around 40 will always just scream, Wilson!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's great. I'm glad he's as nice as he seems.
Favorite Tom Hanks film? I did this the other day.
Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, that's good. Captain Phillips, I liked. I like Bridge of Spies. Bridge of Spies, I love. Love it.
All classics.
Big's a big favourite. I wanted to know if you have you ever worked with Anthony Hopkins?
I have.
And was he I'll not bother what he's like as a bloke because I kind of want him to be a bit moody, to be honest, because he's such a legend. But I always think he's got, I'm not an expert, but I always think he's got incredible presence on screen. He's one of my all-time favourites to work with. Is he a super pro? Is he a natural? Is he relaxed? Is he Daniel Day-Lewis in character from the minute he arrives? What's he like?
He's a little bit of everything. I'd say he's the most prepared actor I've ever come across because he not only knows his own lines, he knows everyone else's lines. He's read the script like 150 times and this script is just covered with all these little notes. And so he's a professional, like no one can touch him. What he loves to do, he's so well prepared. What he loves to do, I think, is to take his mind off it. He'll do a Tommy Cooper impersonation right up until they say action. Then when they say action, it's like the flip, the switch is flipped. But there was this one moment I did a film with him. First of all, I wasn't sure what to call him. So you go,
Tony?
You go, hello, Sir Hopkins, Anthony Hopkins, hello. And he goes, just call me Tony. You go, oh, okay, Sir Tony. And then, I had one basic scene with him in this huge film in Rome called, based on the Shakespearean play, Titus Andronicus. And what happens is, me and John Lurie Myers, he slits our throats. He slits our throats and kills us, bakes us in a pie. Julie Taylor, the director, had this great idea. She goes, I know what I want to do. I want to hang you both naked, upside down, with your hands tied behind your back, your mouths gaffer taped, and then Tony's just going to slit your throats kind of at eye level. We're like, look great, I'm sure. So they got these prosthetic throats made for us with these blood pipes that ran up our backs, and we're shooting in Italy, and all these FX boys had buckets of fake blood and like bicycle pumps that went into the bucket, and they would hand pump them, and when Hopkins slit our throats, he'd pump the, you know, squirt the blood out. Oh yeah, great idea, we thought it was brilliant. So we're naked, we're hung upside down, they gaffer tape our hands behind our backs, they gaffer tape our mouths shut. And then Hopkins delivers this menacing speech to our eyes and goes, with this knife I commit thee. And he just goes, slits both our throats. And then we were told to arch our necks back to open up the prosthetic so the blood would come pouring out. We do that in these Italian FX boys that you can see them in the corner, like, pumping away. All this blood starts coming out and going down into our noses, right? Well, we're hanging upside down, our mouths are gasping. And we very quickly realize we're going to die.
Because we die,
can't,
yeah.
We can't breathe.
Waterboarded by blood.
Waterboarded by Hopkins and blood was the title of my new biography.
New podcast.
Yeah, so we start arching up going, like this, and he keeps going, and you can see Hopkins kind of going, all right, now die. You know, you can see in his eyes going, right, you should die any minute now. And he's always going, then Julie Taymor starts going, that's great, okay, now start dying. And we're like, right? And then it took like almost a full minute till Hopkins goes, oh, I think we should cut them down. Anthony Hopkins basically saved my life because I pled with my eyes for him to let me go.
That's brilliant. He read the signs. That is
the thing with Andy Hopkins, though, it's like Steve Coogan. I can't look away from Partridge with him, or Ricky Gervais with Brent. With Hopkins, I just can't look away from Hannibal Lecter.
What? When he delivered this speech about killing us, that's all I could think of.
Flava
and
beans.
There was a part of me. Weird things go through your mind. There's a part of me going, that was one, because you could have used that as one take, right? And he did it so beautifully. And in my mind, I go, I can't breathe, but I know I'm going to blow this take. So maybe I should die.
Any
real
commitment. He would. That's what he would do.
Exactly.
Daniel Day-Lewis would do, and he's won Oscars.
Day-Lewis would have been dead as a dodo by now.
Hey, here's a question for you. When you've got to be, if you're hanging like naked, or you've got a little naked scene, do you have a choice between all your bits hanging out or a special little thing, their invisible pants or something like that? Like, does everyone see everyone else's bums and willies?
Well, it depends. First of all, there's a lot of choice. There's a lot of choices.
Is this a question from your kids' flats?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of choices they give you. They give you the sock. They give you like that weird kind of medical brown crepey stuff. They go that you can bandage yourself and then you can tape it to your inner thigh. Directors mainly hate those little jock straps where they can see a tiny little thin piece of fishing line because usually the light catch it. So more often than not, you're told, you know, they give you like, you know, they cut the top off some nan's, you know, tights and they go, there you go, here's a bit of medical tape. Go and tape it up and attach it to your inner thigh.
Just crack on. What are the what's the hardest accent you've ever had to do? You've mastered American. That's it.
Very well, the American. Done.
Well, yeah. Some might debate. I did Belfast not long ago for the BBC. I found that quite hard. Because the kids are trying to infiltrate. It was a very specific old Belfast accent. So the kind of modern day Belfast that we're so accustomed to.
Yeah.
It was something I kept going into and they're going, no, it's not that. So it was kind of a very regional specific Belfast I really struggled with.
If the crew then are saying, hang on, stop a sec, that isn't the accent we want. You're going, do you kind of think, right, how do you want me to do it? Keep telling me, or are you someone that actually gets a bit pissed off with that and actually just let me do it? I know what I'm doing. Or is it a case of you have to actually receive a bit of, you have to take the critique and give them what they want?
It's a little bit of everything because you kind of go, in the more heightened emotional moments, what's more important, that I sound correct or that the performance is better? So I get a bit stroppy sometimes. But then a part of me goes, listen, you watch a film and the accent pops, you come out of it, you've kind of ruined any moment of credibility. So, you know, I don't even remember the last time I played someone with a Welsh accent. So for the most part, my entire career, half your brain is going, how do I sound? How does the next word sound? Which to some degree, some people go, it might help you because what you're doing is taking a huge percentage of kind of getting in the way of yourself by focusing on something very, very present, very immediate. So to some degrees, I kind of go, it does help because it takes your mind off the acting because you're working so hard and doing something else. But there are times you get frustrated, you're tired, or it's a big emotional scene. Usually you do pop out. I still struggle with the American. There's still plenty of times I have to cut because they're like, hang on.
I remember watching White House Farm. It was a murder series on, I can't remember if it was ITV or BBC, and Stephen Graham was in it, great actor.
Yeah.
But he had to play a Welsh cop. Taff, yep. They called him. That's original. And
he was an honourable bastard as well.
But he struggled with it, didn't he? I thought he really struggled with it. I mean, it must be difficult for people to do a Welsh accent.
It is.
I've been struggling for years.
Exactly.
It is. It's funny. Funny enough, it's the one I did. I did a play with Adam Driver. Do you know him? He plays Kylo Ren in the Star Wars films.
Oh yes. Yeah. Very famous. He's a heartthrob now, isn't he?
Oh, whopping heartthrob. Yeah. So we did a play together where, ironically, he played a Welshman, I played an Englishman. First day of rehearsals, we turn up and we're chatting away, and he goes, wait, where are you from? And I said, oh, well, funny enough, I am from Wales. And he went, ah, fuck you. Because basically, they all go, every actor says, it's one of the hardest. He goes, I can't stop sounding Jamaican. Like, yeah. He goes, it's one of the hardest things to do. And he goes, and one day, like the First Minister, it was Calvin Jones at the time, and Bryn Terfel came to see the play. And I said to Adam, I said, do you want to get, there's a few sort of, you know, Welshies in, do you want to come for a drink with us afternoon? And he goes, well, who's in? I said, well, he's the first, they call him the First Minister, and there's another very famous Welsh opera singer. You know, they're nice men, they just want to have a drink. And he goes, so you think after them watching me playing a Jamaican, I want to have a drink with the King of Wales, Welsh Pavarotti? He's
like, Welsh Pavarotti. Thought I was Wyn Evans.
It is.
Yeah. I was.
I said, that's not. He's not the Welsh Pavarotti. You halfwit. That's Wyn Evans.
Yeah, he wishes.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well, look, we'll leave you get back to being the Green Goblin.
That's it, mate.
Short and sweet. Oh, and unless you've got anything else.
For you.
Oh crap! Well.
No, you're right. I had a hell of a career. It all started in the south at Maidstone in Kent, 1988. Anyway, that's another podcast.
For another time.
Yeah.
This is a two-part question.
Okay.
Give me like a highlight that isn't necessarily equated with winning a trophy or scoring a try. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A moment on the field where kind of an elation, you were elated for a very specific kind of reason that's not necessarily associated with success or glory.
All right, mine comes to mind very quickly, Shanks, so I'll do a quick one. Mm-hmm. When I was playing for Bath, Matthew, and I was one of these guys that got picked for England, should have been really good, got injured, it's like, he'll be all right, he'll get picked again, and then kind of got picked again and got injured again. And I was never going to be the greatest player in the world, but I could have done better than I did if my body hadn't fallen apart a bit and I had a bit more talent. Mm. However, I had this long injury that people kept saying was nothing, and my Achilles tendon, and it wasn't good. And it ended up 4 operations, 20 months. I lost my insurance. A lot of the doctors told me to retire. I went and had some surgery, and I was told the day before the surgery by the England rugby medical type, we do not sanction this surgery. We are not supporting you in it. You need to think about retirement. I was young, I was 24. Wow. I was in a horrible place for a long time. And I found this amazing guy who fixed me, and we're still close now. And after 20 months, I took the field, and I was a bit fatter than normal. I hadn't run very much really at all, but I called him and said, they want me to come off the bench tomorrow. I don't know if I'm fit. And he said, you're fit, you can do it. And I came off the bench and I hit a scrum. Then I hit another one and I made a couple of tackles. I touched the ball once or twice quite poorly, dropped it once from memory, which wasn't my fault. It was a bad pass. And from Jonathan Humphreys, the Welsh hooker. And I felt great. I felt great and did a job and won the team a penalty in a scrum, which won us the game. And I came off the field and just thought, I wasn't very good. I'm fat. I'm more exhausted than I've ever been. I only played for 15 minutes and this is the best day of my life. That was it. There you go.
That's a good one.
I'll give you a little one where it doesn't involve winning. We're playing the All Blacks in 2002 in Hamilton. Steve Hansen, our coach at the time, okay, so he's former coach of New Zealand, and he's adamant we're going to beat New Zealand. Like, he's adamant. This is our chance. And we're sort of thinking, all right, we're sort of half with you, Steve, but if we're going to stand a chance in beating them, it's probably going to be at home. In Wales, we haven't beaten them for 55 years, but we'll go with it. And he said they got a new cap, a new player. He's going to be the weak link. We're going to target him all day, in attack, defence, everything. We'll target him. And we start going through the team list, right? And it's like 15 Muliaina, 14 Rico Gear, 13, Tan Umanga. 12, 12, new cap, Daniel Carter. So we're like that. Right, that's it. Never heard of him. Never heard of him. That's what we're going to do. And anyway, that day, he went to score 19 unanswered points, scored two tries, kicked all his goals, won man of the match. And I feel like sort of we were the springboard or the stepping stone for his international career.
You created him.
We created, you know, had he had a shocking game, he probably might not have recovered. So made him the player he is. There we are.
Well, that's good, that.
Calves of a sparrow, that man.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. The calves of a Springer Spaniel.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for coming on, Matthew. We really appreciate it. We're really chuffed, so thank you.
Talked all day.
Look, I'll put the check in the post, all right?
Great.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Good luck. And keep going.
Yeah. Stay all safe.
Right. Cheers, boys.
See you, mate. Thanks a lot.
Ta-da. Nice one.
Ta-da now. Bye.
Love that. Did you?
What a nice man. I love that guy. He's my favourite actor now.
How good is his accent, though? His American accent. It's like, wow, his impressions. It looked like he was in a sauna. I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great guy. Just I loved him. I thought he was brilliant. He's my fave. He's a good old fella. So
I'm going to have to go and watch.
Well done for sourcing a Welshman.
I'm going to have to go and watch and source the last episode of Columbo now.
Yep. So that's exactly what I was thinking. Mm. You'd be able to find it. And I'm starting The Americans tonight. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that.
And I wonder if we can find any footage of him hanging upside down naked, getting his throat slit by Tony.
Yeah. And hey, my question might have been a bit childish, but you're glad you know the answer, aren't you?
I did really want to know, actually.
Yeah.
I'm the type of guy to just let it all hang out. You know, I am what I am. Sorry about that. I try not to, you know, drag it on the floor, hit you in the eye with it, but...
This is how Jeebus made me. Mm. So deal with it. That was good. I'm going to look for Columbo this afternoon, and I'll probably spend a bit of time looking at cars on the internet, to be honest with you. So I do that a lot. Horsepower Hanger is my... the problem is, the poor bloke, he's called Johnny May, coincidentally. Johnny May from Horsepower Hanger. We've got each other's phone numbers, and the poor bloke, he must regret the day he ever gave me his number, because... I'm pestering him now. Like, I've got a conversation going with him now. The poor bloke, and he deals with proper motors, like proper job. And I was like, oh, I quite like these. He goes, you ever going to buy one? I was like, I might be a time waster. He goes, well, all right, don't worry about it. Let's just waste some time together. So he sends me these cars. I'm like, no, not the one. No, wrong gear stick. No, wrong wheels.
Yeah.
But then I send him one and say, this is perfect. And he's like, mate, zoom in. Go on your laptop. Zoom in on the third of four wheel pictures. Look at the hubcap. It's different.
Thing is, mate,
I think it's different.
I get it. I go online, I look at golf. You know, I look at drivers, I look at wedges, I look at TaylorMade silver P790 steel shaft irons, which I want. So,
you know what it's like.
I'm not quite as addicted to it as you, but I do like looking at stuff on the internet. And a lot of fruit. I like looking at fruit on the internet. So, there we are.
All right, good luck to you, boy. Keep going, yeah?
Yeah, I'll speak to you soon, right, Dave? And, you know, look all after right. yourself.
And each other. Yeah. Take care, fella, boy.
Bye.
Set on now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.